Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us for Church Online here at Destiny Church. We miss you. To all of our regulars, we miss you very much. Hope that you all are surviving this time of social separation. And we're just praying that the weeks go by fast, that we can all come back together. We look forward to being with you soon. Special prayer to all the parents and homeschool moms and homeschool parents who are homeschooling their kids. I know it's a challenging time right now. I seen where my neighbor was out the other day scraping off the back of her window that my child was the student of the month, and she's scraping that sticker off and taking it and threw it in the trash. I saw another parent say that she's already had to suspend one student and her only teacher resigned. So I know it can be a challenging time, but I believe God is going to give us grace. We're going to pull together as a community, as a nation, as a church, and we're going to see this thing through, and it won't be long. We'll be back together again soon, so keep your hope up. Stay positive. Today, I invite you to scoot in with us today as we get ready to study the Word of the Lord and talk today. It's an exciting today. Today is Palm Sunday, and so I'll be talking a little bit about that throughout my sermon. So get your hearts ready. Let's go into our time of reading and studying the Word of the Lord together. Today, I want to talk to you about the thought, the pain of progress. The pain of progress. There is no progress without pain. And pain oftentimes can either break us or make us. And I'm praying that during the painful time of this season of being challenging to us, that it will make us into something new that God has for us, that God has for you. So I hope you're ready. I love what Paul said. Paul had a lot to say about being made over. God was changing him. God was remaking him, remolding him. In Philippians 3, in verses 7 and 8, this is what Paul had to say. He says, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider a loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him." And so we see something happening here where Paul is saying that all this stuff that I thought was gains, I now consider it a loss, and I'm looking to have gains according to what God wants me to have gains in. Not what I thought, but now I realize that my own things I was trying to achieve, those were my own desires, and they really mean nothing in the kingdom of God. And so he's reprogramming his mind. He's reprogramming his spirit to realizing what's really important. Look at verse 12 and 14. Paul says this, "Not that I have already obtained all this, or I have already arrived at my goal, but I press on." See, we got to press on. "Take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what's ahead, I press on." Today, we got to press on. No matter what we're going through, we got to press on. No matter how many weeks of isolation we got to walk through, we got to press on. God is with us, and we want you to press on through the pain and allow God to bring some gains in our life. And this is what Paul was saying. No matter what I face, I'm going to press through it. So that should be our attitude today, that during this season of challenge, that we say we're going to press through it together and allow God to remake us and to refocus us and to get us where we need to be in him. You see, no one ever compliments the ordinary. No one ever compliments consistency. You ever notice that people say, they compliment, "Oh, you lost a lot of weight," and so they compliment you. "Oh, you made a much better test score," and they compliment you. Or you learned something you couldn't do before, and they compliment you. But no one ever seems to compliment the person who's always staying in shape. No one seems to compliment the person who always makes good grades, or the person who always does good things. See, they seem to not notice that, but we notice when extreme measures happen, when we see drastic change, that seems to get the compliment. And what happens is oftentimes those who are doing good consistently don't receive the compliments. It goes overlooked. It can become taken for granted because you are being consistent. During the challenging time, you're being consistent. During the downtime, you're being consistent. During the times when everybody else is falling apart, you're consistent. And people don't compliment that. But today, I'm here to tell you that God sees you and God understands you, and God is pleased with those who are not letting the crisis pull you down, but you are staying consistent in doing the right thing, staying consistent in your dedication to the Lord, staying consistent in your faith. This is what God's wanting us to see. And what Paul was trying to say in this whole chapter of verse chapter 3, he said this. He wants us to hold this whole thing is about quit trying to impress the wrong people. Quit trying to impress. Get your motives back where they need to be. He goes, I used to study to impress the Sanhedrin and the family and society. And he had graduated to the elite, and he had gained position in society. He had the nice outfit they had given him, the funny looking hat they had given him as a place, a prestige, a honor. But he says, listen, that thing, those things are all in vain now. What's important is what God sees in my life. Today, I want you to understand this, that God is wanting us to focus in on what's important. He wants us to learn to pursue what's important in our life. See, we're all of our life, we are learning and we're trying to impress people who really don't matter. We live our life on social media, in society, we're trying to impress people who really don't matter because they really don't even care about you. Why would we spend all of our life trying to impress people that we're not even close to? I want them to be impressed by what I achieve. I want them to be impressed by what I wear. I want them to be impressed by what I own. I want them to be impressed about what I've accomplished. I mean, we live all of our life trying to impress people that if anything happened to you tomorrow, that the majority of them would not be there for you. The majority of them would not check on you. But what I'm here to tell you today is we got to have a change in focus. Stop trying to impress the wrong people and start saying, I'm going to learn to do what's important. What is God impressed with? What impresses the Lord? What is God wanting of me in my life? See, it's something that God's wanting us to learn to do. The older we get, the more we understand this principle that God wants us to impress him, not impress others. What does God think about me? You know, I've enjoyed watching all of my children grow up, and oftentimes in different times in their life, they all play different sports or involved in different activities. And as a parent, it's so joyful to watch your children do these things. And I love the game of football, and I had three of my sons who played football, and it was always just, I'm so proud to watch them play. I had one son who was always a little bigger, a little more athletic than most of the kids on the field, and he always achieved a little more. So at a young age, I knew that there was a possibility that he could play football at the next level if he continues at the progress he was at. And so I remember driving by maybe college stadiums and thinking, I wonder one day if I might have the chance to watch my child play in a stadium like this. Wouldn't that be a cool thing? I know a lot of you dads, you had that same dream. That's nothing that's uncommon. We all think about that. Maybe it's the baseball park. Maybe, you know, it's the football stadium. But whatever it is, you think, I wonder what could happen here. Maybe it's the NBA arena. You think, what could happen if my child could ever make it to that level? And we were fortunate enough that my son was able to garner a lot of D1 offers, and he had over 19 D1 scholarship offers. And then I remember when he signed to go play, how proud we all were of him. The community was proud of him. His coaching staff was proud of him. He played for some great coaches. And what a great opportunity. But I remember telling him this principle before he left and got really established there his freshman season. I said, son, you know how much we love football. He knows how much we love it. I said, but I want you to know the most important thing to me is that your relationship with God stays solid. And if you can't keep a solid relationship with God by moving away and playing football, then I'd rather you pack up now, come home, and stay planted where God wants you than to be in a place where you have abandoned him. And, you know, he looked at me like, wow, Dad, you're really serious about that. And I was, because I understand what's the most important thing, not what's the most impressive thing. And see, we got to learn to, look at this, we got to learn to celebrate what's important, not what's impressive. See, we want to celebrate what's important, not what's impressive. Impressive is saying, boy, I would love to have my son doing this. I would love to have my daughter doing this. I would love to be able to post on this and this. That's all impressive stuff. But what's the most important thing is my children know who God is? Do my children have a personal relationship with the Father? Will my children make it to heaven when it's time? That's the most important thing. As a parent, I can teach them not how to hit the ball, not how to throw the ball, not about how much they can do in the ACT. The most important thing is my child, is my family ready to know the Lord and to meet the Lord? Do they serve the Lord? This is what's the most important. And we want to celebrate everything else, but how about let's celebrate our children who are steady in the house of the Lord, who are steady in their relationship with God. And I look at them and I applaud all of my children because I know that where their hearts are with the Lord. That's what's important, not necessarily what's impressive. See, we got to learn to do that. Could it be that God is trying to teach us something right now? Could it be that God's trying to teach us something through this hardship, through this time of the COVID-19 when we're all socially isolated and separated? Could it be that God's trying to teach us something? What is really important in life? What's really important in life? He's wanting us to focus in on that. What is really important? And as we look around today, what's really important is sitting next to you. It's your family. And what's really important is, do they know the Lord? Are they serving the Lord? These are the things that will last for eternity. Let's look at Luke 19, verse 30 and 31. Now remember, this is Palm Sunday, and this story is also the Palm Sunday. A week before Jesus was to be crucified, he came back to Jerusalem, was getting ready to return back into Jerusalem, into the city. And he told his disciples this. Let's pick it up in verse 30. Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. He goes, untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it, say the Lord needs it. This is something today that I want you to understand, that Jesus came riding in to town on a common colt. Actually, what this translates is to a donkey, okay? And so Jesus came riding in. The King of Kings came riding in on a donkey. And the reason why it's important was usually when royalty came into town, they didn't ride in on a donkey. They come riding in on a prestigious horse and chariot. It was something of a prestige. And for Jesus to come in on a very common donkey says something to us, that today we ought to realize that Jesus took something common. He didn't come to impress us. He came to do what was important. He knew that it was important for him to come back to Jerusalem. He knew it was important for him to start off the Passion Week where he was going to be crucified. He knew what it was important that he begin that process. So he didn't come to impress us. He came to do something ordinary. And I love that because he says, just go untie it. Untie this colt that has never been ridden and bring it to me. And God used that to start off the Passion Week. And I wonder for how many of us that we feel like we're very common, that God's never used us before. How could God use me going forward? And I want to tell you today that God wants to untie you. And God wants to use you for his purpose. God wants to use you. If he can use a donkey, he can use you. If he can use a donkey, he can use me. And today he wants to untie us and use us for his purpose, even if it feels like it's a common thing, even if it feels like we have nothing special about us, God has something special in you that he wants to use for his plan and his purpose. Learn to do what's important, not what's impressive. You see, look at this. The closer to the cross that Jesus got, the closer to the cross that Jesus got, the more confused his disciples became. See, he was getting closer and closer to his death. He was getting closer and closer to the cross, and he's speaking about it. I'm not going to be here much longer. The Son of Man is going to be crucified. And they're like, what are you talking about, Jesus? You're doing all these miracles. You're healing people. You just raised Lazarus from the dead. What do you mean you're going to have to die? You can control your destiny, Jesus. You don't have to die. You can defeat any army. You can defeat any soldier. Who would dare try to kill you? And so they couldn't understand this. But Jesus understood that he was willingly going to give his life up for you and I. And the closer he got to that part of dying, the further and the more confused his disciples understood. Listen, the closer we get to Jesus, the more we got to surrender. The closer I get to Jesus, the more I surrender my life and my future to him. It demands that as I get closer and closer to Jesus, the more my eyes are opened that he wants more of my life. He wants me to surrender more. He wants me to give more of myself. And it's giving up. It doesn't make a lot of sense sometimes to other people around you. They don't understand it. But the closer you get to Jesus, the more we surrender our life and give up our future, our will to him. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says it like this: for we live by faith and not by sight. You see, we are to live by faith and not by sight. The closer I get to the cross, the more it becomes a faith walk. It's not what I see. It's not about what I'm seeing. It's a faith thing. God, I'm trusting you with every area. So even during a time of crisis, I can trust you. I can be at peace. Because why? I'm walking by faith, not by what I see. What I see on the news, what I see on social media, it can make me nervous. It can bring fear and anxiety. But I'm not controlled by that. I'm controlled by faith that, God, you are not going to abandon me. God, you will sustain me. You will take care of me. God, you will protect me. And my strength, my peace is found in you. It's walking by faith and not by sight. So as Jesus rides in, the Bible says that they begin to take their palm branches and they waved them in the air. A big parade of people waving them in the air, throwing them down. And they were shouting out, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they're screaming out this praise and they're worshiping Jesus as he rides into town. And the Pharisees came to Jesus like, Jesus, listen, you tell these people to be quiet. You tell them to quit praising you. You tell them to shut down the praise. And Jesus looks at the Pharisees. He says, I can't do it because if I tell them to be quiet, then even the rocks will cry out to me. Because what you got to understand is the presence of God demands praise. The presence of God, when Jesus is there, it demands a response of worship, of praise. And he says, if they don't cry out, even the rocks will cry out to me. You see, his presence always demands praise. That's why we always worship the Lord when we come together. That's why before I spoke today, our worship team was praising the Lord. They were worshiping the Lord. Why? Because his presence demands the praise. It's a response of my heart. It's what does God want? What is important is what God is asking us today. Luke 19:41. Look at this now. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, it says that Jesus wept over it. Now think about that paradox. The crowd is cheering and Jesus is crying. What a paradox. Think of it. The paradox is that Jesus should have came in on a great horse and chariot, but the paradox was that it came in on a very common mule. The paradox is the crowd is cheering and Jesus is crying. Why? Because there was something happening that Jesus understood. He understood this thing to be that they were cheering for the wrong thing. This is why Jesus was up. They were cheering for the wrong thing. See, look at this. They thought that Jesus was coming to fix a political / social problem. And Jesus knew he was coming to fix them. He was coming to fix us. You see, in their mind, Jesus was going to overthrow the government and bring back to Jerusalem the government, put the Jews right back into the political stance they needed to be, the social stance. We're going to be impressive once again. We're going to be important once again. And they didn't understand that, no, Jesus was coming not to fix that problem, because that problem was not important. What was important was their heart, was their soul, their eternal soul. And Jesus was coming to fix the heart problem. He was coming to fix what was most important. And so they were cheering, and Jesus was crying because they did not understand that he was coming to fix them. Now look at verse 42. Jesus said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. See, they didn't understand this. They thought peace was going to come when Jesus brought a political kingdom, not a spiritual kingdom. See, he goes, but you didn't understand that. You're putting your peace in a political kingdom when the peace of God is right here with you. And I'm trying to bring you a spiritual peace. I'm trying to bring you a peace that passes all political kingdoms. I'm trying to bring you a peace that passes all understanding, that even in the most trying time, through every crisis, that the peace of God is here to flood our lives, to flood our homes, to flood our hearts. He says, it's been hidden to you from your eyes. You can't see it. And today, this is what I want you to understand on this Palm Sunday in 2020, that Jesus wants to bring his peace to us, and he doesn't want our eyes hidden from it, that he came to bring peace. He came to bring that peace that passes all understanding in our life. Today, I want you to experience that peace. This is why he came. Look at this. The closer Jesus got to the cross, the farther he got from their plan. The closer Jesus got to the cross, the farther he got from their plan. See, their plan was for him to bring a different kingdom, and Jesus' plan was, I had to come and give my life. I was born to die that you and I may live. See, this was Jesus' plan all along. He understood this. And the closer he got to that plan when he had to die, the farther he got away from the world's plan. And so listen today, don't let the world influence your plan so much that it pulls you away from what Jesus is wanting to do. Don't let society pull you back. When all this COVID-19 thing settles down and we open back up the doors and we're allowed to get back out and functioning again, don't let those things bring you back to a place where you forget that Jesus is still the most important thing in your life. He still is there. He is wanting us to reevaluate ourselves today. See, the closer I get to Jesus, the harder it gets. Because then I understand, the closer I get to Jesus, the more humble I must become. The closer I get to Jesus, the more I've got to forgive others. Even when it hurts, I forgive the people who have hurt me. The closer I get to Jesus, the more I got to give up of myself. The closer I get to Jesus, the more I give up my dream. The closer I get to Jesus, the more I surrender every part of my life. And to the world, it doesn't make sense. But that's not important. Quit trying to impress the world. It's about what's important. What is God asking me to do? Listen, stop chasing the wrong dream. Stop chasing the wrong dream. Before COVID-19, we were chasing everybody else's dream instead of God's dream for our life. Well, I got to have this. My child's got to have this. We got to be going here. We got to be doing this. No, listen today. God is wanting to get your attention. God is wanting to get my attention through the crisis. He's trying to do something to us. America, wake up. God is trying to get our attention. The world, wake up. God is trying to get our attention. There's something through the crisis that he's wanting to get our attention, where we are refocused back on him. Use this time. Look at this. Use this time. This time of social separation. When you're back in your homes hour after hour with your family. Use this time for a reset in your life. Say, God, forgive me. So busy. We never spent time with our kids. We're so busy. We never ate dinner as a family. We're so busy. We never went to church as a family. God, we're so busy. No, use this time as a reset, a start over point in your life. Yes, there'll come a time where our kids go back to school. Yes, there'll come a time when we're going back to schools and we're able to get back in society and function. But don't let that drive you. Reset yourself right now. As for me and my house, we're going to keep God first. We're going to keep coming to the house of the Lord important. Today, we know we took it for granted. Boy, we can go to church anytime we want to. Now as the doors are closed, we miss it, right? We miss it. I pray that when the doors open back up, that the chairs can't contain the people who are wanting to come back to church. Churches across America and across the world are flooded, the overflow. I pray that a spiritual awakening happens as we take time to reset our life. The what's most important, not what's most impressive. This is where he wants us. I want to reset my family. I need to reset my values in my life. What's important to me and my family? What's important to my children? All those things are all fun. There's certain things that are all fun and they're great. And I hope you enjoyed. I enjoyed every minute. But listen, that's not what's most important. What's most important is that my children know the Lord. That my children know, as for me and my house, we're gonna be in the house of the Lord. We're going to worship the Lord together every opportunity we have. Parent today, quit trying to impress everybody else. And teach your children it's most important to impress what God wants in our life. You're going to have to let go of some things to reach for your God-given purpose. See, we can celebrate in our suffering right now because God is going to achieve something for his glory. And I know this. I celebrate now not because things are going bad. I celebrate because God's going to take this thing that's bad and he's going to turn it around and use it for good. People are going to get their life back where it needs to be. People are going to get their family back where it needs to be. So I celebrate that God's going to use this thing for his glory. Listen, the more progress we make, the more painful it can get. The more progress we make, the harder it can get. God, you're asking me to give up things. God, you're asking me to love more. God, you're asking me to forgive more. Yes, he is. The closer I get to the cross, and the world doesn't understand that. But it's what he's asking us to do. But it's all for gain. That's what Paul said. It's all for gain. What I consider once gain is now lost. It's garbage. I take up what Jesus wants. I pursue the things of Jesus. That's where my treasure lies. So I press on. Through every challenge, I press on. Through every virus, I press on. I press on. Don't give up. Today, we're going to take of the Lord's table. And so I hope that you've taken time to prepare that in your home. We put it out on social media earlier this week for you to prepare to take the Lord's table. If you're watching this video on a rerun, you can, of course, push pause right now. Go grab some bread and some juice or anything you may have that you can bring as a drink to symbolize the cup. So put us on pause and go do that if you haven't done that already. If you don't have anything, then just be connected with us and pray with us as we take the Lord's table here with you. We know that during the Passion Week, the night before Jesus' arrest, before he went to the garden to pray, the Bible says that he called all of his disciples together and they had a last meal together. Of course, we know this as the Last Supper. And there in the Last Supper, Jesus began to explain to them once again what was going to happen. And they couldn't fully understand. See, it was not their plan. They couldn't fully understand that Jesus was going to die. And Jesus keeps trying to tell them. Now, you and I have the privilege to understand now what Jesus was telling his disciples because we see the whole story. We see it and understand it. So we can have even a greater appreciation than even the disciples today as we take of the Lord's table. He broke the bread, the Bible says, and as he broke the bread, he gave it to them and said, When you eat of the bread, remember, this is my body. And of course, we knew that his body, that he would go to the garden and he would pray so intently, the Lord, this cup would pass, that the Bible says that his blood vessels begin to break and he sweat blood because he was so intent about what was going to happen to him and so much agony. But he said, Father, if there's any other way, let it pass. But if not, not my will, yours be done. He submitted to the will of the Father. His body was going to be tortured. He was going to be beaten. He was going to be nailed. Beyond recognition. And so what he was telling us was this, that my body was the sacrifice for our sins. He took our punishment. So let's pray over the bread today, and then we'll take it together. Father, we thank you for your body, which was given for us. Thank you that you loved us so much, that you gave your life for us. Thank you for taking the stripes upon your back in our place. Thank you for carrying that cross upon that same back. And today we remember. Let us eat together. And then as he passed out the cup, it says the juice. And he says, likewise, in the same manner, he said, this cup represents my blood. And now they didn't understand what that means, but we understand that only Jesus' blood has the ability to forgive sins. Only Jesus' blood has the ability to wash away my sins. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but Jesus' blood. It was the perfect lamb who was sacrificed. And once this blood is applied to my life, my sins are forgiven. Never to be brought up again. It's God's amazing grace today. Let's remember the cup as we pray. Father, we thank you for your blood, which was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you, God, that you sacrificed yourself willingly in our place, that you took the weight of the sin of the world upon the cross, and you willingly let yourself be nailed to the cross in our place. You became the atonement, the total sacrifice for our sins. That all who believe in the power of the cross and what Jesus did would now have forgiveness of those sins. And today we say, thank you, Father. Thank you for giving yourself for us. Let us drink of the cup. Today I hope that you are reminded of this week. Hope you're reminded of where we're going this week, as this is the week that started off the Passion. Palm Sunday, they were cheering, and by the end of the week, they were yelling, crucify, crucify. And Jesus gave up his life willingly for you and I. I want you to pause for a time of worship as our worship team takes us into another moment of worship. Let's worship, and during this time of worship, let's thank the Lord for the table of the Lord, for his body, for his blood. Let's spend some time with him and tell him how much we want to be with him. Today, before we close, I just want to invite you, if you're here and you say, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus, wherever you're sitting today, whether it be in your living room, your bedroom, your car, wherever you're watching this online service from, we want to invite you to know Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, just simply say, Jesus, I surrender all of my life to you. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only son. I accept your forgiveness that comes through the cross. And from this day forward, I will live my life for you. Today, we're so thankful for God's peace, for God's grace in our life. Now, let me remind you this week that it is the Passion Week. And so I hope your hearts are ready and preparing yourself for Easter. Next Sunday, we're going to be celebrating Easter Sunday. It's going to be different. We're all going to be doing this at home. So maybe fix a big dinner, Mom, and then gather the family around and watch the Easter service together. And then when you get done, y'all have a great celebration and dinner together. But let's make sure that we keep Easter Sunday about Jesus as much as possible. Let's anticipate it. Let's invite as many people. You would usually invite them to come to church. Now invite them to watch with you online. Watch the service with you. We're going to be starting a new series next Sunday. It's going to be exciting, called Rise Up. It's called Rise Up, a new series starting next Sunday. I'm going to have a boxing ring on the stage bringing you a special message entitled 42 to 1. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be very unique. It's going to be awesome. You're going to be encouraged today. And I want you to come next Sunday ready for what God's going to do. Prepare yourself for this next Easter weekend. It's going to be an awesome weekend. We love you so much. God bless you and your family. We'll see you online next Sunday.